Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the March 13th edition of the County Chronicle, and again we'll start with the first page stories. The first is from Arthur Village Board, Hire Officer Commits $6,000 to Fireworks by Ariana Cherry. Members of the Arthur Village Board voted to hire Bo Jones of Bourbon as part of the Arthur Police Department at the March 4th meeting. Chief Mike Goodman stated that he plans on Jones attending the Police Academy in April with the graduation date of August 9th. Following the vote, Jones was sworn in. He is presently employed with the Equity. John Stewart, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Arthur, attended the meeting representing the Arthur Rotary Club to discuss the 2024 Freedom Celebration fireworks. This year's celebration is scheduled for Saturday, June 29th. Thank you to everyone for their help for the village's involvement, along with Mike Goodman and his team, Stewart commented as he thanked everyone for last year's celebration. Stewart informed the board that Captain Rat and the Blind Rivets would be returning for entertainment. Rotary plans on purchasing about 25 minutes worth of fireworks at the cost of $66,000 and asked the village board if they'd be willing to donate $6,000 this year toward the cost. The board voted to pledge $6,000, which will be taken from the Economic Development Fund. Other items discussed and voted on: an amendment to the master agreement to provide electric generation supply and related services between the Village of Arthur and Illinois Power Marketing, LLC DBA Homefield Energy was passed. The new agreement will begin in July. A request was made to use the community building for a birthday party and to serve alcohol on Saturday, April 6th from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. $87,000 in expenditures was approved. Grant Corum of Public Works noted that Metro Communications is about 90% finished installing the fiber optic system and will be returning in a week or so to complete the job. The next article, Tuscola City Council, Seeds, Bond Rights, Tables, Alley Issue by David Porter. It was mostly routine business at Monday's Tuscola City Council. The council voted to give its private bonding authority to the Eastern Illinois Economic Development Authority, which typically does each year. The bonding authority is a state-limited borrowing mechanism for tax-exempt private development. By ceding the authority to the regional group, the council hopes to allow that agency to help larger projects. Tuscola has never used its $560,000 allocation, according to City Administrator Drew Hole. Brian Moody, director of Tuscola Chamber and Economic Development, noted that he is on the board of directors for the EIEDC, and thus Tuscola still has a voice in how the bonding authority is used. The council also passed an ordinance to allow Hole enter into contracts, including joint participation with the state. Mayor Dan Kleiss said Hole has had this authority, but the state now requires action from the city council. The immediate benefit is to allow Hole to purchase salt for city roads through the state's bidding process. There was requested time on the agenda by Tony and Lynette Kramer and Mary Sturkey regarding a proposal for the city to vacate an alley at the west end of Baker Street off Park Street, but neither party attended Monday's meeting. Kleiss explained that there was an effort more than a decade ago to have the alley vacated, but the adjacent homeowners at the time did not agree. The alley has no public destination and is used by homeowners on either side as a driveway. Kleiss said one of the interested parties was not feeling well, so the issue was tabled. In the consent agenda, the city approved pay requests to K. Woltman Construction, $323,000 toward the city's new maintenance building and $133,000 toward the fire station. Also approved was a Boy Scout day camp July 12th through 13th at Wimple Park. Hole did not attend Monday's meeting, but said in his written report to the council that bid openings for the Meadowview Water Main replacement and Master Meter Station will be held March 21st. He said he expects to have a bid recommendation at the next council meeting. He also expects work on the police station improvements to begin soon. He said Swingler Construction, which won the bid, has completed the necessary documents. The city will need to relocate the fire trucks that currently are parked in the North Station, either to the new fire station or part of the maintenance building, he said. The next article involves the race, primary challenge, and coroner's race. The race for Douglas County Coroner is the only locally contested contest on this month's primary ballot. Ray Todd of Tuscola is challenging the incumbent, Lisa Edwards of Arcola. Edwards was appointed to the position in 2022, succeeding Heather Skinner, who had been appointed by the Douglas County Board in 2020, following the death of longtime coroner Joe Victor. The County Chronicle asked the candidates to respond to a questionnaire to explain their qualifications and interests, and the following are their responses, unedited. Lisa Edwards. My name is Lisa Edwards, and I've lived in Douglas County my entire life. I grew up on the east side of Arcola. After marriage, moved to the west side. Upon opening the funeral home, we moved to the middle. As our family grew, we moved out to the country, just out east of Arcola in Bourbon Township, where that is where we happily reside to this day. My husband, Jeff Edwards, and I have been happily married since 1990. God gave us three amazing children. Kara, who is married to Corey Roberts. They have given us two amazing grandchildren, Cameron, 5, and Cooper, 3. Taylor now works and lives in Nashville, Tennessee, and Beau, our youngest, is currently going to mortuary school. Our family has been extremely active throughout our community our entire lives. My husband and I both graduated from Arcola High School, as did our children. We were all very active in sports, which kept us involved in our community over the years, and we've loved every minute of that. We continue to support several extracurricular activities that Arcola provides to our youth. You'll feel very blessed by our small community and enjoy living and serving in Douglas County. Following high school, I attended Parkland College, where I graduated with an associate degree in dental hygiene and worked for Dr. Smith for several years. I also have my EMT-1 license. I have served on several boards and committees over the years, way too many to count. I have coached our children during their youth sports. I also coached at the junior high and high school level, led FCA at Arcola Junior High and High School, hosted many youth group events, and taught more CPR classes than I can count. If you know me, then you're aware of my love for dogs. I can often be found walking, grooming, or just loving on my dogs, and I've had a few extra furry friends live with us temporarily over the years. I will never grow out of that. I'm currently serving on the Douglas County 911 board, where I've been for over 25 years. I also sit on the Arcola Foundation board. I am very active in my church, and my goal is to live by the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. In November of 1992, Jeff and I opened the Edwards Funeral Home. I eventually started working full-time with Jeff in the funeral home, where we raised our three children in the process. We also operated the Arcola Ambulance Service for over 10 years. It was an all-volunteer ambulance service that served Arcola and the surrounding area with care and compassion. Our daughter Kara works at the funeral home as our office manager, and Beau is also there as well, working alongside his dad, learning the business while he is going to school. With that being said, I still wear many hats at the funeral home, but with our children there, to help my plate isn't quite as full. In 2020, Heather Skinner was elected as Douglas County Coroner. She asked me to serve as her deputy chief coroner. With my education in the medical field, over 30 years in the death care industry, and my 10 years of working in the ambulance service, I felt I had a good background and experience to take on this role. I worked very closely with Heather, sharing new ideas and making sure we were serving Douglas County to the best of our ability. In July 2020, Heather had to step down and she asked me if I would consider taking over as coroner of Douglas County. With much prayer and conversation with my husband and family, I accepted her offer. On September 1st, 2020, I was appointed by the Douglas County Board to the position of Douglas County Coroner. I've enjoyed getting to know everyone in the county offices and have worked very closely with many of them to ensure that I'm serving our county professionally with honor and respect. I'm not afraid to ask questions, and I learn from every experience. I feel asking questions may show my ignorance, but it is also one of the best ways to grow as a human being. I am fully committed to serving Douglas County. If I'm elected, I will continue to fully commit myself to serving Douglas County with the utmost integrity and expertise. It will be my priority to work tirelessly to ensure our Douglas County community receives the best possible service and support during times of loss, grief, caring for each family with compassion, respect, and dignity. I am very honored and humbled to be considered for this opportunity to serve Douglas County as coroner. The other candidate is Todd Ray. Spouse's name, Chana Ray. We've been married for almost 33 years. Children's names and ages, one son, Christian Ray, 26, one daughter, Brooke Ray, 22, one grandson, Asher, 8, one granddaughter, Ava, 3 months. Education information, coroner basic training certification, bachelor degree from the University of Illinois in chemical engineering, EMT intermediate license through the state of Illinois, certified fire investigator through the state of Illinois. Current employer, I employed at Cabot Corporation in Tuscola for the past almost 30 years and am currently a lead production engineer. I am also the assistant fire chief for the Tuscola Fire Department. Personal history with coroner's office. I started with the coroner's office in 2010. I have held positions of deputy coroner, death investigator, and chief deputy coroner under Joe Victor, who was appointed interim coroner when Joe passed away. I'm currently still serving as deputy coroner. Other relevant work or volunteer experience. I have been a volunteer firefighter in Tuscola Fire Department since 2010. I earned my fire investigator certification in 2011 and have been investigating fires in Tuscola and surrounding areas since then. I am qualified to investigate fire-related deaths as well. I have also volunteered with the Douglas County Search and Rescue Group as a trained searcher. Hobbies and interests? I enjoy hunting and fishing and spending time with my family. Why do you think you're the best candidate for this position? I feel that my history on the coroner's office, as well as my history in emergency services and lifelong learning, make me the best candidate for Douglas County Coroner. I have a strong history with investigation and a drive to find the solution to any situation presented. I feel that this position requires empathy and caring for those who have lost a loved one in order to assist them in their time of grief. I have proven over the past 14 years that I can perform this service to the community. The next article, Jones Family Donation Makes a Splash Pad Possible in Villa Grove, by Tony Hooker. When visitors arrive at the new community center for the grand opening on March 19th, they'll notice something interesting and exciting before they even step foot in the main entryway. Just south of the magnificent structure, they'll see a splash pad water feature taking shape, all thanks to the generous donation of $200,000 from Lois Jones and her family. I recently sat down with Mrs. Jones to learn more about her, her family, and why they decided to support so many activities in Villa Grove over the years. Where did you grow up? I grew up in Toronto. I was born and raised there and all the way through school at University High School. How did you and Dr. Jones meet? Bill and I were practicing dentistry in Tolono as well as Villa Grove and had friends introduce us. You were a school teacher, right? Where did you teach? I taught in Villa Grove for several years, and then after my children started school, I got the opportunity to teach in Newman. They offered me a job, and I finished and retired from Newman. What grade did you teach? I taught fifth grade there. At Villa Grove, I taught second grade for a year and then moved to fourth grade for a couple of years. Then I moved to Newman and taught until I retired in 2002. I know that you and your husband were very involved in giving back to the community. How did the two of you come to be such philanthropists and provide support behind the scene for so many things that's going on in Villa Grove? The Lord has blessed our family with a great life experience here in Villa Grove, so Bill and I talked for years about what we could do to people here as a memorial. He wanted to do something for the new park on the south end of town, and I wanted to do something for the children. After much deliberation, we decided on the splash pad. Have you been out and looked at it lately? I have. It's not finished yet, but they've got a way to go, but it's going to be cute. Other than your involvement in philanthropy, what occupies your time these days? I'm a very busy person, and I love it. My children, Philip and Jane, live close to me, and I'm with them and my children a lot. My grandchildren are a true gift to me, and I try to follow their activities. My family is a blessing. I read lots of books, and I belong to a book club with dear friends, all from Villa Grove and Camargo. I also enjoy having coffee with friends at the Beehive in Villa Grove. What are your thoughts on the community center? To me, it's just a diamond. I know we're very fortunate to have a new community building. Not many small towns have a facility like that, and it's beautiful. The splash pad has been a gift to the people of Villa Grove that I'm fortunate to be able to give. I'm anxious to watch the children play in the water, and parents too if they want, but that community building is a beautiful facility. Do you plan to continue to live in your beautiful home in the future? I am. I'm here to stay as long as I can. It's a perfect spot, so private and so secluded back there. We don't get strong winds coming in, especially in the summer. Are you thinking about any other community support activities at this time? I'll always do that community support if I see something that can use help, or if I see something, especially at Christmas, that I can use a contribution. I keep in close touch with Cassandra, Mayor Eversole Gunter, about ways that I can help. She's been the best thing for this city. She's a real dynamo. In the last first page story, ALOLF benefits supper and auction set for April 12th. The Arthur Legacy of Love Foundation is sponsoring a Raise the Roof benefits supper and auction on Friday, April 12th at the Auto Center south of Arthur. Serving will be from 4 to 7 p.m. No advance tickets are required. A menu of barbecued chicken, scalloped potatoes, green beans, salad, homemade bread, cake, and ice cream and drinks will be served. A lunch stand will also be available, offering sandwiches and other tasty items. Free well donations for the meal will be collected at the benefit. A bake sale and silent auction will be ongoing throughout the afternoon and evening. A live auction will begin at 5:30 p.m. Both will feature a variety of quality items donated to support ALOLF. Arthur Legacy of Love Foundation is a 501c3 nonprofit organization working to generate funds to help build quality CILA, Community Integrated Living Arrangement, housing for the special citizens of the Arthur community. The first house is currently under construction at the corner of Beach and 2nd Streets in Arthur, and plans are being made for a second home in the near future. If you can't attend the Raise the Roof fundraiser and would like to contribute, donations may be deposited into the ALOL Foundation's account at the State Bank of Arthur or by mailing a check made to ALOLF, P.O. Box 222, Arthur, Illinois, 61911. All contributions to the foundation are deductible for income, estate, and gift tax purposes. For more information, contact any foundation board member. They are Joe and Martha Yoder, Bruce and Kathy Oye, Omer and Nancy Miller, Joe and Rosanna Mast, Merv and Barb Helmuth, Melvin and Clara Mae Helmuth, Lloyd and Judy Gingrich, Howard and Judy Diener, and Dave and Kathy Allen. Mark April 12th on your calendar and make plans to join us for an evening of fun, fellowship, and fundraising for this community cause. We'll move down to the obituaries. Ramey Weirman, Ramon Ramey Weirman, 77 of Atwood, passed away on Saturday morning, March 9th, 2024, at his residence. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. Tuesday, March 19th at the Hilligoss Schrader Funeral Home, 66 East U.S. Highway 36, Atwood, with the Reverend Michael Drake officiating. Burial will be at the Macville Cemetery, Atwood. Visitation will be held 1 hour prior to the service at the funeral home. Nevia Danielle Kreider, infant daughter of Daniel Lee and Aunt Audrey Lavina Kunz Kreider of Arcola, was stillborn at 11:29 p.m. on Thursday, March 7, 2024, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A daughter loved and longed for by her parents and sisters with a dream of long and joyous life, she was instead welcomed straight into the arms of Jesus. Visitation for family and friends was held Sunday, March 10th at the Pleasant View Church in rural Arcola. Funeral services for Nevea were held Sunday at the church. Pastor Matthew Bortranger officiated. Burial was at the Pleasant View Church Cemetery. The Edwards Funeral Home assisted with arrangements. Roberta Diane McDaniel, 71 of Bethany, died at 1:40 a.m. Monday, March 4th, 2024 at St. John's Hospital in Springfield. Funeral services were held Friday, March 8th at the Schrader Funeral Home, Arthur, with Brother Gwayne Beavis officiating. Burial followed in the Marrowbone Township Cemetery in Bethany. Visitation was held Thursday, March 7th at the funeral home. Charles F. Van Sickle, Sr., 91 of Newman, passed away on Tuesday, March 5th, 2024 at Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center in Mattoon. A graveside service was held Sunday, March 10th at the Newman Cemetery with Ted Scherer officiating. Desserts and coffee at the American Legion in Newman followed. Doris Jean Sanders, living in Summerfield, Florida, passed away on March 4th, 2024. Beloved mother, wife, sister, and friend, her sparkly blue eyes will be dearly missed. John Clay Peck, 76 of Arthur, passed away at 9:09 a.m. Saturday, March 9, 2024 at the Sarah Bush Lincoln Hospital. A memorial service will be held at a later date. McMullen Young Funeral Home is in care of the arrangements. Doyle Kent Bailey, 76 of Charleston, died at 5:25 a.m. Thursday, March 7, 2024 at Mattoon Rehab and Health Center in Mattoon. There will be no services per Doyle's instructions. Schrader Funeral Home Arcola is assisting the family with arrangements. The next article, Clean Carbon Proposal Threatens Gasoline Prices. Local State Senator Dave Kohler is leading the push in Springfield for legislation that could increase gas prices across Illinois. Senator Kohler is the chief sponsor for Senate Bill 1556, which mandates two state regulators, the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency and the Illinois Pollution Control Board, to establish a clean transportation standard and reduce the use of carbon-based fuels in Illinois by 20% by 2038. Aviation fuel will be exempt. The two agencies would assign state-mandated deficits to fossil fuels like gasoline and diesel, which for consumers would mean they would pay more every time they put those products in their vehicles, according to the Illinois Fuel and Retail Association, which represents more than 4,000 gas stations, convenience stores, and truck stops across Illinois. The IFRA opposes the legislation. Our member stores in Illinois have enough and our customers have had enough, said Josh Sharp, IFRA's CEO. Illinois doubled the gas tax in 2019 and consistently raised it every year since then, with two increases in 2022. Federal data shows Illinois topped California for the highest taxes on gas in the country last year. And even worse, this legislation would do nothing to fix our roads and bridges. It would simply punish drivers and put more costs on consumers at the pump that they cannot afford. The proposed legislation gives state regulators authority to decide how much fossil fuel deficits work and how much they will cost, and how any phase-out processes might be developed. Similar clean transportation standards or low-carbon fuel standards have been a disaster for fuel consumers in other states. In Oregon, clean fuel mandates added 7 cents to a gallon of gas in 2022, according to the IFRA. Washington expects its per-gallon cost to soar to 39 cents a gallon in 2034. The average cost of a gallon of gas in California is now $4.87 per gallon, precisely because of policies like this, the IFRA said. Sharp said that as the governor and legislature is pushed to end regressive policies such as state grocery tax, adding such significant costs at the gas pump just trades one set of headaches for another for working families. Illinois cannot control geopolitical strife, OPEC export rules, economic pressures, or other global policies and factors that largely drive the costs that we pay at the pump, Sharp said. But we can do our part by rejecting policies out of Springfield that artificially and needlessly cause consumers more pain every time they fill up. We call on Senator Kohler to drop this idea, and if he won't, for his colleagues in the Illinois House and Senate to vote no and stand with drivers who need a break. The next article, Argola 6th grade band students selected for district band honor. 6 Arcola Elementary School 6th grade band members were selected to perform at this year's Illinois Music Educators Association District 5 Elementary Honor Band. The students were Mauricio Siguero, flute, Isabella Biggs, percussion, Ramona Myers, clarinet, Boston Wesch, alto saxophone, Addison Blumker, clarinet, and Ansley Titus, trumpet. These students were selected through a nomination by the director of bands, Kevin Boyle. This festival featured the best of the best student musicians from the region. The concert featured a diverse selection of music that showcased the students' versatility and skill set. It's amazing to see the hard work and dedication these young student musicians have put into their performance day in and day out, said Boyle. They truly have shown that age level is not a barrier when it comes to creating excellent music. The goal of the Arcola Music Department is to provide our students with musical experiences that will ultimately inspire a lifelong passion for music in our community. The ILMEA Elementary Concert serves as a reminder of the importance of music education in our schools and community and the impact it can have on our young musicians. This experience was a resounding success and showcased a bright future for the students. Villa Grove Scholastic Bowl Team advances to the sectional tournament by Tony Hooker. There are many ways to have an outstanding season in Scholastic Bowl. Some teams depend on one or two exceptional players whose knowledge covers many topics. Others, however, depend on a number of subject matter experts, teams who have a member of contributors whose strengths lie in different areas. Consider this year's Blue Devil squad, who recently won the IHSA 1A Sullivan Regional Tournament to advance to the sectionals, one of the latter. According to Coach Jim Kestner, the diversity is a key component of their success. We benefit from having more seniors in our rotation than just about any other team, including Zach Wells and our captain. Zach is great at managing bonus questions and keeping the team from getting stressed out. We also have 2 sophomores, Sophia Shaw and all-conference Henry Osborne, who challenge themselves to be better every time they play. We're also fortunate to have a sports fan, Ben Wilkie, who is often the only person in the room who knows some of those questions. Our team is made up of all different kinds of students, but they leave their differences behind and get along well. No one worries about how much they will get to play. Instead, they want to take whatever role they can to put our team in a position to win. Finally, our team stay focused no matter what the score is. We've won all but one of our closest matches, including 2 that went into overtime in the Masonic sectional. A testament to the team's focus and tenacity, he stated. Every player has a different strength, according to Kestner. I mentioned sports specialist Ben Wilkie. The team is also excited when he's in and we get a sports question. When that has happened this season, I only wrote once where he failed to score. Sophia Shaw has made it her mission to master knowledge of literature, adding some expertise she already had in fine arts and philosophy. Zach Wells delivers in psychology, history, and civics. Jaron Bennett knows mythology much better than most. Austin Zock and Kenzie Cardiff do the same for music, he added. Put it all together and has made for a special season, both for the participants and for their coach. This season, we've bounced back from last year's B13-813 record, not winning more, but improving rapidly, especially in tournament play. Last year's losing record was the first since 2018-2019. Team traveled to New Orleans and won the National Small School Championship. The following year's team was even stronger, but COVID took away the national championship. Last year was the first in 4 years not to place in a single tournament, and I wasn't sure how that might impact students' enthusiasm. It has been terrific to see this year's team bounce back, going 17-10 so far. Along the way, surprising everyone by placing second in the Masonic Sectional Tournament and most recently winning our regional. The success has been really exciting, so I wanted to make sure I talk about that. To be honest, though, I take the most personal satisfaction from seeing these young people work together and bring great attitude to every competition and practice. They're having fun and a pleasure to be around and serve as strong ambassadors for the terrific school and community we have in Villa Grove, Kestner concluded. Moultrie County Final Multiplier is announced, Springfield, Illinois. Moultrie County has been issued a final property assessment equalization factor of 1, according to David Harris, director of the Illinois Department of Evenue. The property assessment equalization factor, often called the multiplier, is a method used to achieve uniform property assessments among counties as required by the law. This equalization is particularly important because some of the state's 6,600 local taxing districts overlap into two or more districts, e.g. school districts, junior college districts, fire protection districts. If there was no equalization among the counties, substantial inequalities among taxpayers with considerable properties would result. Under a law passed in 1975, property in Illinois should be assessed at one-third of its market value. Farm property is assessed differently from farm home sites and dwellings subject to regular assessing and equalization procedures. Farmland is assessed at one-third of its agriculture economic value and not subject to the state equalization factor. Assessments in Moultrie County are 33.32% of market value based on sales of properties in 2021, 22, and 22. The equalization factor currently being assigned is for the 2023 taxes payable in 2024. Last year's equalization factor for the county was 1.000. The final assessment equalization factor was issued after a public hearing on the tentative factor. The tentative factor issued on December 6, 2023 was 1.000. The equalization factor is determined annually by each county by comparing the price of individual properties sold over the past 3 years to the assessed property value on those properties by the county supervisor of assessments or county assessor. If the three-year average level of assessment is one-third of the market value, the equalization factor will be given as 1. If the average level of assessment is greater than one-third of the market value, the equalization factor will be less than 1. And if the average level of assessment is less than one-third of market value, the equalization factor will be greater than 1. A change in the equalization factor does not mean total property tax bills will increase or decrease. Tax bills are determined by local taxing bodies, where they request money each year to provide services to local citizens. If the amount requested by local taxing district is not greater than the amount received on the previous year, the total property taxes will not increase, even if the assessment increases. The assessed value of an individual property determines what portion of the tax burden a specific taxpayer will assume. That individual's proportion of tax responsibility is not changed by the multiplier. DAR recognizes community service. Community service awardees Dr. Steve Leon, Villa Grove, and Jeff Edwards, Arcola, were honored by the Stephen A. Douglas Chapter, NSDAR, during the March 6th meeting at the Camargo Methodist Church. Nominated by Karen Welch, Mr. Edwards is a talented pencil portrait artist who shares and donates his portraits for community projects such as the Broomcorn, Grand Marshal, and local veterans. Often filling in for the pastor of his church, he encourages his church youth group and local teams to use his home gymnasium when no other gym is available. His time and talent are often donated for Arcola sporting events and the summer rec programs. Nominated by Martha Burris, Dr. Leon has been an optometrist in Douglas County for 40 years and received recognition as the Illinois Optometrist of the Year in 2022. He retired from the Illinois National Guard in 2019 after 23 years and has led several Villa Grove community organizations throughout the years. He also belongs to the Illinois Patriot Guard Riders and is vice president of the Honor the Chief Society. DAR museum correspondent, docents from Alliance DAR Chapter Champaign were the afternoon program bringing interpretations of food and dining experiences from the American Revolutionary period. The DAR Museum in Washington, D.C. provides scripts for use by the docents, but the ladies provided their own examples for display. And that is all the time we have for this week. This is Chris Yerke saying goodbye and see you again next week.